juicy something over there. Welcome to Strange Familiars, covering a range of topics from the paranormal, cryptids, mythology, the occult, hauntings, UFOs, weird history, and folklore. Wherever you are listening to Strange Familiars, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or any other service, please subscribe and click the like button, and share the Strange Familiars pages and stories on Facebook and other social media. If you have experienced something strange, or if you know a story you would like us to cover, email strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars. And of course, you can always find us at strangefamiliars.com.
Welcome to Strange Familiars, episode 20. We're going to be talking about Site 7. I guess we'll call it Site 7 Part 2. It's our impressions, James and Tim's experiences and impressions about Site 7 so far.
So far.
It's an ongoing investigation. Before we begin, if you'd like to support the show, go to patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Check out everything we have there. We have different reward levels. You can get extra shows for $3 a month. You can get t-shirts, you can get stickers, you name it. But at just $3 a month, you get extra shows. We try to do at least one full extra show a month for our patrons. But you can get other swag there as well. There's all different kinds of reward levels. Just go check it out, patreon.com/strangefamiliars. When you support us in Patreon, you help us make Strange Familiars. We'd like to take it to a weekly show. The more support we get, the more shows we can do.
Absolutely. And if you already subscribe and are a patron, thank you so much. It makes a huge difference for us and what we're able to do with the show.
Patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Thank you, and we'll get on with the show. So we're going back to Site 7 tonight.
Site 7.
I'm going to play the interview I did with Chris again. It's just a couple minutes long, but I think there's some important stuff in there
that
I want to go over again. So yeah. I'll go ahead and play that here. It's closed now.
Yeah, they closed it up, and I wonder why. I remember the time. It was Carson, foreign exchange student from Nicaragua, and myself. It's probably like a Saturday afternoon. And we're heading to the, and then we take the road to get there. So we get about halfway, and we're always running on E. And all of a sudden, we run out of gas. So Carson wants me to go back the farmer's home that was right in the middle of that lane. So I go back and I knock on the door, terrified, not knowing what's coming out in that dark, nasty looking house that's sitting back there. And out comes an old gentleman, probably in his early 80s, and his fingernails were probably about an inch long, so that scared me right off the back. He looked like something thrashed me one. So I go up to his door, and he comes out, and I say, I ran out of gasoline. Well, he says, I think I got something in the barrel in the back of the barn. Well, first of all, that scared me even going back in the barn with this guy. So he took it back, the barrel was empty. So I was sort of like, So we didn't know what to do, so I said, I'll see you later. So I took off. So we ran to the store and got gas. We walked to the store and got gas. But one instance we remember, I know at the beginning of the year, there was a house. Remember the big house sort of sits, like when you go down the lane, you'll see a house. Well, that one night we went back, I was with Anthony, and he, I was probably about 16 at the time, and a German Shepherd and a St. Bernard come and attack our car. And there was like five of us in the car. St. Bernard jumps on top of the hood, and the German Shepherds try biting our tires, like literally biting our tires, like flatten them. So then we go back into road, and it's just complete darkness. And it just makes you feel like there was somebody up in the woods watching you wherever you want. So yeah, road was always one of those roads that I always feared to go back. Everybody feared to go back in there.
Didn't you say there was a family of albinos or something?
That's where the dogs came from. They were from the albino family.
It's a whole family.
It was a whole family of albinos.
Wow.
That lived back there. And you rarely ever saw them. I mean, we saw them like once going back there.
Road, or however it's pronounced. Didn't you say there was stories about...
There was supposed to be bums and vagrants living up in the woods.
That would throw rocks
at you. That would throw rocks at you. And we did have rocks thrown at our cars before up from the woods. And we don't know what it was throwing rocks at us. But that's what the story goes about that road. That there was people living up in the woods. And then at nighttime when the kids would go back, they'll throw rocks at you. But yeah, that was a strange road to go back on. It felt a little evil, to go back that road.
So the important points there, I think, are, for me, the thing that really got my attention was the stone throwing.
The stone throwing, absolutely.
When people talk about getting stones thrown at them, but they never see these hobos or homeless people.
Right.
I forget exactly.
I think it's so interesting to me that like immediately it's like passed off as like it was vagrants. It was homeless folks camping in the woods, and it's not within an area that's riddled with train tracks and such. Like it's just a weird.
Yeah, it is an odd place for
right.
There to be a hobo camp.
Absolutely.
There's no liquor stores nearby. There's no train track. Why? Why would you be hanging out there?
Sure.
So that got my attention first. Like when somebody talks about stone throwing and not seeing who throws the stones, that's like, okay, light bulb goes off. When he talks about the family of albinos, now that became sort of more important as we went along.
Yeah. Like it didn't seem like it was going, like it was just kind of one of those things like, well, albinos. Okay, well that's strange, and it's almost something that like I kind of put off initially after hearing that.
Yeah, like
that's weird
and odd thing.
But more so at that point, I was interested in like the being pelted with stones from
right
from the woods.
The albinos thing. Now that does come up in a lot of urban legends, like
sure.
Around Pennsylvania, New Jersey, you'll get these stories of like, oh, there was a family of albinos. Or Allison, who does the circus research, of course, and albinos were often exhibited as sideshow curiosities. That's not politically correct at all, I'm sure, but it's part of the past. It happened. She looked up, albinos in the area just as part of her research
for
the circus. And there was a family of albinos. It's rare to have a whole family, but it is a genetic thing. It can be passed on.
Yeah.
I think both parents need to be albino.
Yeah.
And they can pass it on. There was a family living in Harrisburg. So we do have a family of albinos, like documented.
In South Central PA.
In South Central PA. Now, whether they moved to this area, that seems unlikely.
I feel like it's highly unlikely that they moved into this chunk of land. I mean, we've been back there.
Yeah, and according to Chris,
see...
they lived in a shack. The albino family in Harrisburg, right. I don't think they were poor.
No.
Their baby actually won like a prettiest baby contest one year and stuff. And
yeah.
So it'd be odd for them, I think, to move to a shack in York County.
Right.
But
it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And in our sort of snooping around in the area, we've never found anything that looks like it could have been a shack or a foundation for a shack.
Yeah. That's what I really wanted to find that as much as anything.
I feel like perhaps the whole local, that local area sort of having the story about the albinos, I think stemmed from something else.
Maybe.
That people may have been experiencing, and it became this urban legend of there being this albino family that lived back there. Or maybe it was something that people were telling people or telling kids to, be careful, the albinos in the woods, and to keep them from going back there and snooping around, because perhaps people were wise to the fact that there were maybe other things.
There were reasons not to
there were reasons there. Not to be back there, and it's easier to throw it on that than it is to be like, well, there could be things
right
in the woods.
Let's shelve the albino thing for now and
We will come back to it.
Come back to it. We went into this basically thinking Bigfoot because of the stone throwing.
Absolutely.
Right? And because it's this wooded area, there's some other geographical features that put it relative to other local sightings and so forth.
It really became like a perfect storm of things that kind of was like, oh, this definitely feels Bigfoot related.
Right. And then when Jeff and Lori are reporting eyeshine, now we talked to them on the last episode, obviously, and Jeff said that he was only seeing one light creature one eye shining. That's the first I heard of that.
Yeah.
I think before, now he sent me pictures of the eye shine, but I assume that I was looking at two lights as one, you know what I mean? from they became one or something, you know what I mean?
I get what you're saying.
I didn't know that at all times he was only seeing one single light per creature, if that's what he was seeing. And again, maybe yes, maybe no. But we're thinking eyeshine. We're thinking this is eyeshine they're getting back there. So going into this looking for Bigfoot reports, you actually took two big reports very nearby.
Yeah. What's really, really weird is right around the time that you and I started focusing and kind of messing around with that area, checking it out, and kind of starting our like official investigation of the area, some really random things kind of just fell into place.
Just chronologically, the first one, was this a client of yours or a friend?
Well, the first thing...
Chronologically.
Literally the same week that we had gone out to that area, I saw an old friend and they were talking about their summer, and I had gotten into the whole, like, how's the daughter? That conversation happened, and she said, oh, she's great. She's seeing monsters. Kind of joking. And it was kind of one of those things where my ears perked up and it was like, well, what do you mean? And she goes on to tell me this story about something that had happened. And I'm listening to the story, but I'm also thinking about the geography, because this would have been happening very close.
Yeah, it's
to Site 7.
Within a mile or two, which in terms of Bigfoot is right.
Which is really, really wild. And with that connecting stream of water from one spot to another.
Let's describe the area a little bit. So this is a sighting that this little girl reported.
That's right.
Over the summer, basically. Mm-hmm. Summer of 2017.
Yeah, the short version of the story is, during the summer, a little girl, I think she's 4 or 5 years old, is out in the yard of their home, which is very, very vast, open space, with her grandpa, and they're playing outside, beautiful day. And she just, according to the grandfather, just loses her mind and starts screaming like she was stung by a bee or something, you know, and she starts freaking out and she runs into the house, and you know, he goes to catch her, you know, find out what's wrong. When he finds her in the house, she's telling him that there's a monster outside. There's a big hairy monster. It's easy for some people to maybe dismiss a child saying something like this, but when it's your child or a child within your family that you know, it's one of those things when they say something like this, you know right away whether or not they're being truthful or not. And I think that this grandfather really was concerned because he believed that she was telling him that, you know, she really saw something out there.
He took it serious enough where he went out with a gun.
I believe so. Yeah. He had gone out just to, you know, make sure it wasn't a person or somebody or whatever. That was kind of it. And it was just kind of one of those things where, you know, she'd come home and like they told, you know, grandpa told the story and it's kind of like, okay. And then the little girl didn't really talk about it too much after that. But then I got the story and I'm listening to the story and it reminded me of another story that I'd heard. And I told her about this story. And her eyes get really big because the story that it had reminded me of involved a bunch of kids playing in the yard and something peering over a huge blueberry bush. And it was like looking over and it was like a statue. Like it was just standing there and they made eye contact and the little girl freaked, went in the house. It was kind of like a very similar sort of reaction to seeing what she saw. And I told her this story and her eyes just get big and she tells me, our property is lined with fruit trees.
Right. Which we confirmed.
There's persimmon, there's Asian pear, there's a plethora of edibles all along the property line, even a grape arbor, you know, there's a vegetable garden, and it's right there where the little girl had seen whatever it was that she had seen.
Yeah. We went out there one night.
We did.
So the back of their yard. Okay, let's take a step back.
Yeah.
She reported seeing a big hairy monster, basically.
Yeah.
Something very large and very frightening that meets the description of a Bigfoot.
Absolutely.
Dark hair, mm-hmm. big, large creature. It was standing in the back of her yard, which goes up. It's, it goes a little bit of a hill.
There's an incline. There's an incline, a shed, and then kind of like a weird little...
Like a dip, like a little ravine
for drainage, I think.
Yeah, which is completely covered. Like, if you, I could get down in there and probably live for a week or two, and no one would know I was in there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Or more if no one checked. But
this is where what we're putting together is where this mystery creature was probably standing when she had seen it.
Right. Now, all the fruit on that side seemed to be eaten off the trees.
Well, what was really interesting to me is we're in the middle of summer at that point, and there was like not even any debris on the like at the bottoms of the tree.
Right.
Of fruit. Like everything was gone.
We looked through the garden. There didn't seem to be a lot in the garden. Now, maybe they picked it.
Sure.
Maybe not, but there wasn't a lot in the garden. We found a maybe footprint, as these things go. It looked like a footprint.
We had a good bit of rain during the days leading up to when we actually went out. And this was underneath a tree, which would be a great place to hang out if you were trying to stay out of the rain, because everything under the tree was very, very dry, including this footprint.
I don't think people are hanging out where we were.
I don't think so either.
It's not like a hangout spot. It's no one's waiting for a bus there.
It's such an interesting little spot. It's like one of those spots that, like, if I was a kid, I would hang out there all the time. Like, I'd build a fort there or something, because it's one of those places where you can be close to home, and at the same time, no one's going to see that you're
there.
You know, it's private.
There was a stem of a wine glass I found just shoved in the ground. Very weird.
What looked like a footprint to me looked like a right foot instep on the left, and it didn't seem like there was a lot of detail for toes, but you almost mentally could put them, like, you know where they would be.
Right.
And we did get a picture of that and with my shoe next to it. My shoe was a size 12. So it would have put that print, if that's what it is, at about 16 inches.
It's interesting because this is a residential neighborhood.
It's a residential neighborhood. We're looking at this place and we're thinking about the geography of this particular location. And literally, the most logical place for something to be coming from would have had to actually cross a main road to get to where it was seen in the daylight.
Right. However, if you look at it on Google Maps, you can go right across the road into a patch of woods and follow that woods basically all the way to the river.
All the way to the river.
Which is right by Site 7. Right.
They had some other weird things happening. Like, after I got to talking to her, I don't think that she took it very seriously, but after we got to talking, I asked her about some things like, hey, have you had anything, any other weird stuff happening? She said, you know, same time every night, the sensor lights next to their parents, you know, live with them. The sensor lights were coming on like roughly the same time every night. And eventually they just turned the sensor lights off so they wouldn't go on.
Oh, that's right. They were going on and off. Uh-huh. Yeah. And didn't they report some weird screams too?
And they had heard some sounds. Absolutely. But didn't think anything of it. And they definitely didn't put it together, because this is like Bigfoot or creatures is not necessarily something that's in these folks' wheelhouse.
Right. My impression is it was like the last stop on the line. Like you could follow this through the woods, you know, if you start at Site 7.
It's like a mini mart. It's like a little mini market, a little snack.
If you wanted to creep through the woods and get as far as you could, this would be sort of like the last stop on the line.
Absolutely. And these things seem to have a rapport with children. Like, they seem to be drawn to the sounds of children playing.
Yeah, well, they're disturbingly interested in them. Yeah. That's, who knows?
Something we can't quite put our finger on, like, what that is. And this all happened like within the time that, you know, this is within a span of like a day or two of us actually going over there and deciding, okay, we're going to set up our stuff here.
And so actually, when you contacted me about this report, I had been, there's a park near Site 7. Mm-hmm. I'd been in that park that very day. And I remember I told you about this and I didn't write it down, but it was so weird. A deer crossed in front of me, mm-hmm. and went into a thicket and started sounding off in just the weirdest way, the weirdest kind of mournful kind of sounding off way, like it was hurt. Mm-hmm. And it was just such an odd thing. And I think, like, what's in that thicket? Like, I couldn't see, could only hear the deer going off. Now, you know, this was summer, midsummer, so it's not like,
so it's all like in the same, it's all in the same sort of, it's in a relative time period. And it was just such a interesting coincidence that we're checking out site 7, this thing randomly kind of falls into my lap, this child's sighting. And then within a week or two of hearing about this, I was visiting my brother and my nephew and, you know, their family and stuff. And, you know, they wanted to know how things were going. And I started talking about the albinos and site 7 and the little girl's sighting and stuff. My sister-in-law got got kind of intense, and I'm like, are you all right? And she says, yeah, when we were kids on the highway close to the town that site 7's in, she distinctly has this memory of coming down the highway, heading home from somewhere. And while they were on the road, traffic got stopped on the highway, where people literally stopped their cars on the highway as several, what she described as white and gray creatures moved across the road in front of traffic and brought, like, as the sun was going down.
And this was like in the 70s?
No, this would have been like probably for her, because she would have been a little girl at the time. So this probably was like early to mid 90s.
Early, oh wow.
Yeah, because she's in her 20s. She's okay. In her late 20s.
All right.
So I just thought that was very interesting. These things allegedly had crossed right in front of people and everyone stopped, and people had actually gotten out of their cars and crossed the median over into the other lane, following them as they jumped over the guardrail into a ravine and just sort of disappeared back into the woods.
Wow.
You know, there again, another weird thing happening. And like the thing that got me was like, they were like grayish white.
Yeah.
Creatures. You know, that was the explanation.
That's...
And it's so wild that people saw this. Like, it was a bunch of people like that literally, you know, they got out of their cars to like try to see where these things went.
Anyone hears this?
If anybody and has heard locally this story, is familiar with this,
please get in touch with
us. I would love to hear a little bit more if you know anything.
It seems like a bunch of people saw it from
It would be incredible to be able to talk to somebody who had seen this or experienced it. But like all this stuff just sort of rolled together in like a really short amount of time.
Yeah, it was really exciting because we're just getting one thing after another. I remember we were calling each other constantly.
Yeah, like you're oh not my god, this. Yeah, absolutely. But the thing that really stuck out with that to me was the fact that the creatures were white.
Right. And that becomes a drumbeat that we'll hear again and again.
Yeah. Yeah, this. Absolutely.
So our Site 7 investigations, and when I say investigations, we're not scientists. We don't pretend to be scientists. I think of us as like experiencers and observers. Like we like to go experience things.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree.
And observe things and collect stories and collect experiences. So we've gone out multiple days and nights. We try to keep the recorder running when we're there.
Always.
We've left recorders overnight. We'll insert some audio here while we have it. So let me give a caveat on the recordings here. I've recorded music for decades, but this kind of on-site audio is new to me. I do my best to clean it up, but if you clean it up as you would clean up music, it tends to mute the sounds and make it sound like you're listening underwater and stuff.
Sure.
So I do my best with cleaning it up. We are going to present the audio in this episode with our impressions. And if you want to come back and say it's all foxes and coyotes, we're not going to argue with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's all foxes and coyotes. This is just stuff we recorded. And
I don't think that it is, though, man.
Well,
I really don't.
Yeah, I just don't want to have to get in endless comment arguments with people.
Sure.
If you want to say it's all foxes and coyotes, that's fine. Another note, there are some roads nearby that are around Site 7. You can hear occasional traffic. There is no road that goes through Site 7 itself. Now, there used to be, but it's closed, as we said before. So it's a big area with no roads going through it. When you hear traffic, it's on the outside of the area. Some other observations in regards to the geography. We talked about that quite a bit last episode, but some things we didn't mention. There are two abandoned houses on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is just like people up and left. It's really
just
weird.
Just gone.
Yeah. It's like there's still furniture. It's just like they just got up and left.
Yeah.
Make what you want of that. Maybe they just couldn't pay their mortgage. Maybe they just had to get out. I don't know.
Right.
But it's strange and it's creepy. The other one is like more of an old farmhouse kind of thing. I don't know what the deal is with that. It's really hard to get to with all the overgrowth, brush, and so forth. So we went in during the day from the east. Pretty weird day.
Pretty weird day, yeah.
It was a big tree. Well, there were lots of trees.
Yeah, there had been just literally a few days, maybe a week or so before we had gone out for our daytime stroll through Site 7, there had been a pretty major storm in this area. There were a lot of downed trees along our way that we had to sort of traverse.
There was one huge one, which we had to kind of climb through.
Right.
Now, on the way back, I swear there was a rather large branch that was like sort of blocking our way through that you said, and you said you remembered it being there on our way up, I thought.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, I that was hard to say. The other weird thing on our way back is getting lost in that little strand of woods. There's no way we should have gotten lost in
No.
That was really weird.
No, it felt like it felt like something out of a movie where like the people were just moving and they're not getting anywhere.
For a good hour, I think.
Yeah,
we were
yeah.
just, and it's this little strand of woods. And there's no way we yeah. should have been lost.
Going through that strand of woods to get to where we needed to go literally only took us like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, maybe.
To sort of traverse through because we were able to find game trails to kind of move along. But when we came back, it was like the game trails were gone. It was such a weird thing.
Yeah, and the ones that were there like were leading us in circles, and it was just so weird. And like, there's a main trail that goes through there. We were headed right for it. We should have hit that main trail
before
we did.
Yeah.
It was weird. Like, that was just a weird thing.
Yeah.
Getting lost there. But we first went out at night. The thing we noticed at night were the owls.
Yeah. We go out and we literally will go out in the complete dark and just listen and just sort of, I don't know, like kind of feel through what's going on.
Yeah, well, like I said, we really want to experience the area, what it has to offer.
And also, I don't like to, like if there is something in this area, I don't want to just barge in to that area, like kicking in the doors.
Yeah.
Like we're coming in to raid the place.
Right.
I feel like it's important that if there is something there to stay sort of like on our side, let it know that we're there and to sort of have that sort of experience. And we had done that a couple of times actually at night.
The screech owls
were
constant when we were there.
Yeah. They would not shut up.
Now, I'll go ahead and play just a short clip of some of the screech owls. And the odd thing we noticed when we left the recorders there, when we're not there, no screech owls.
None.
Now, I don't know enough about screech owls to know, like, do they give off a warning things? Now, screech owls don't screech. They actually have kind of a pleasant little warbly sound. But are they sounding off as a sort of warning? Do they do that? Or
right, you
know, it doesn't seem to be like an owl like behavior as a predator. Like they're not going to sit there and keep sounding off.
Yeah. I would think that maybe a warning is one thing, but to continue to just keep going and going and going and going would be almost counterproductive to protecting yourself. And that's just, you know, again, I'm not a naturalist. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a dude in the woods observing what's going on around me. And it's definitely weird to have so much chaos happening. And then when you're not there, nothing. Where I would expect the opposite. I would expect there to be more interaction when there aren't potential threats on the threshold as opposed to them being right there.
Now, occasionally when we're not there, you hear a screech owl.
Yeah,
but it's not absolutely. That sort of constant drone of screech owls that we were getting. All right, so we also caught something else which is like much deeper that sounds almost like it's attempting to mimic a screech owl,
but it definitely
completing
sounds,
the call.
Even with it being a recording, it sounds like it's something substantial in size. At
least, it just sounds much lower.
Putting that sound out. No, it could be something closer to the recording device.
Could be another different kind of owl, sure.
But like, first impressions, it sounds like something bigger than an owl making an owl sound.
The reason we bring up a lot of this stuff is because Bigfoot creatures, if that's what we're talking about, are known to mimic. And they're known to be very, very good mimics. Mm-hmm. And owls are one of the things they mimic on the regular. A couple of the nights we were there, it seemed like things were walking around us. We would sit in a stationary area and just either stand or sit and just be quiet, talk a little bit, but mostly just be there.
Yeah.
And it sounded like things were walking around us. It sounded bipedal to me. I don't know. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, in that moment, it definitely does. And, you know, granted, you know, it's sometimes when you're out in the middle of nowhere with no lights or anything, like, you know, maybe some people's senses get the best of them, but I felt pretty calm for the most part. I didn't feel on edge. I felt pretty relaxed, and something was definitely sort of moving around our around the perimeter around mm-hmm. us.
If you look in one direction, you can see lights from houses, and I swear,
yeah,
were leaves on the trees, yeah. So maybe this was leaves, but it seemed like I could see something pass between us and the lights.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard, you know, again, maybe it's just...
Yeah. And again, this is just the experiences that we had while we were there at night.
So the other thing, and we both saw this, we saw a flash.
I just got a chill just thinking about like what you were about to say.
And again, when we say flash, we mean a flash of movement, not a flash of light. I think that's important because a lot of people, when we first talked about it, said, you know, I see white flashes too, and they were talking about flashes of light, which is something else, I think.
Yeah.
This was a flash of movement.
This is a flash of movement, but that's not to say that it wasn't without color.
It was. We agreed later when we compared notes, it was white.
Do we have a clip of our sort of initial response to it?
Yeah, this is the actual audio of when we saw it.
What? Did you see that? You saw that, right?
She sees something move there.
Yeah. A flash.
Not a firefly.
Not a firefly. No, no, no. In the dark.
Yeah.
Something.
Again.
Caught the light and moved.
Did you see it? It popped up. It was high. Did you see that?
I didn't see it pop up. But I saw it move past. It was out of my peripheral. I saw something flash right past that. That's really dark.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything. I just saw it. Something definitely moved past that. I saw it, and then I looked to you to see if maybe you saw it.
I saw something move.
But you were already, like, pointing. Like a dog, like...
I've been seeing movement over here a little bit, and I think my because the white fence posts keep drawing my eyes, so I keep thinking that it's just them.
No, it was something up.
Yeah.
Like up higher.
Yeah.
Like that moved.
Oh, yeah.
It was very, very fast.
You know, this is like one of the, this is like, I think maybe like the second time I've heard that, and it's been a while since I heard it the first time.
Takes you back.
It does. I like the hair is standing up on my neck right now.
Did you notice anything about that clip?
Well, besides that, it was like completely silent.
Yeah, no insects.
There was nothing. There was no sound at all until.
Now this was the summer. And there are insects.
Yeah.
The other recordings you can hear the insects. You can hear the owls.
So pretty much we're standing in the dark and we're looking down. Pretty much a pathway that used to be a road. Now, like, it's been reclaimed by nature at this point, but you can still see the remnants of the road. We're looking down through this and very close to us and close to the entrance of this area. We're standing and we're staring down through. And what I had seen, I was sort of facing, like, if straight ahead's 12 o'clock, I was kind of like at 1 o'clock. And I saw something move in my peripheral from behind a tree. As I caught it with my peripheral, I turned to look at it. It was like this big flash of something that crossed from left to right across that path.
Yes, that's exactly what I saw.
And it made no sound. There was no sound.
Not at all.
So what? Okay, well, we'll say, what if it was an owl or a large bird? It would not have been soundless. There would have been some sort of sound being made from something that big moving through the air. Of that, I feel pretty confident.
Because we're talking 15 feet away from us at most?
It was, yeah, between 10 and 15 feet away from us. We were pretty much right there. And I had gone back the next day because I knew from what at what level on the tree
there was a branch that kind of hung down and across the path, and I saw it above that branch.
Right.
That's where I
When I had gone back the second the day after, I literally like had to go back again because I needed to see this in the daytime. And while I was there, I realized that the where we were standing dips down into that area. So once you kind of cross into this sort of uncharted land, once you cross into it, it dips down a little bit.
Yes.
With that dip down and where this branch was, whatever we had seen had to have at least been 8 foot.
8 or 9 feet.
Maybe yeah. 9 foot. It made no sound.
None
whatsoever. No sound. It was completely silent.
And
it was such a weird, and that was the thing, like we were driving away. Do you have that clip at all?
When we're in the car.
I think we were just in the car and it just dawned on me like, hey, what color would you say that object was that moved across the path? Because to me.
We both said white. And that's when you first said.
Albinos.
And then it was like, whoa.
Yeah. You know, it was not long after that I had heard about the creatures crossing the highway.
Right.
It was literally like maybe within like the week, maybe 2 weeks, because I had explained about seeing that white flash go across, and that's what sparked her memory of the things crossing the highway.
And that's not the only white thing.
No.
So when we went in during the day, that was an interesting hike, besides getting lost on the way out. We tend to experience things on the way out. We've noticed, like, we go in and it's like everything's, you know, might find something interesting or something, but it seems like if something's going to happen for us, it's going to be on the way out, which is odd. So we're on the way in. It's a warm day, but it wasn't too warm. It's, you know, it was a not an easy hike, but
no,
but a nice, you know, a nice enough hike. And we go in and there's not much sign of man. There was one trail cam we found.
One random trail cam.
You heard what you thought were gunshots. And it could be.
We're standing and we're kind of deliberating over this trail cam. If that trail cam was capable of picking up audio, whoever came back and got that definitely was kind of like, what was going on here, you know? But like, we're standing there talking about this trail cam, and then there was all of a sudden this loud bap, bap, bap. Bap, 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 bap. And it sounded like a rifle.
Semi-auto.
Being fired very, very close to us. And then there was a sound of something that sounded like an animal in pain. It was really close to us. And that was about the point where I was like, okay, well, maybe we should.
And of course, I didn't have the tape running at this
point. We did not have the tape running during this point. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was really weird. Like, hearing that, I believe that was gunfire for sure.
So it's after this, we kind of proceed on our way, and we're just sort of, you know, noting our surroundings. There's some interesting, I'm not going to call them tree structures.
Yeah.
Tree structures are such a weird thing, unless like massive and definitely, you know, you can tell it's definitely things have been laid there. You know, it's hard to say that it's not just a natural break. But there's some interesting things as we're, you know, just sort of noting, like, oh, look at that. That's interesting. Oh, look at that. And it comes time to turn around. So we turn around and we're on our way out. We go past the area with the trail cam where we heard the gunshot.
Yeah.
And I heard just like the slightest little sound in the brush to my left. I quickly turned and I saw something man size. Now this was about human size, about my size, I guess. No taller than 6 foot probably. And at first I thought it was someone who had come up to spy on us or look at us. I thought, you know, I thought it was a person.
Yeah.
Until I realized I'm looking at something that was all white.
Mm-hmm.
Now happens in just a split second. Someone's facing me.
Yeah.
A man-sized, man-shaped something facing me. It turns to its left, makes a hard left turn, and shoots into the brush. Now, you heard the sound.
I heard the sounds, but I missed the visual, unfortunately. We live in Pennsylvania. We know what deer look like. We know about the white of a deer. This wasn't that.
No. This was. I thought it was a person. You know, at first I thought it was a person in
like a gray sweatsuit,
in a white, like a whitish gray sweatsuit. That's what I thought. And I thought that's weird. And then I realized just like, but their head was white too, and the hair was white too. So here we go with something else white. You know, ghost of an albino out there. You know,
guess is as good as mine.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally just with the geography and the things that are close to it, I have I have a really loose theory that I'm not going to get into.
Yeah, it'll give away too much.
Because it'll give too much away about the location. And I definitely don't want anybody going, especially if there's gunfire and other weird things going on back there. I don't want people going back there and getting themselves hurt or worse. But I definitely have a theory. And perhaps at some point we'll figure out a way that we can actually talk about that.
Right.
You know? Yeah, it was a really weird time. And like the point where we were when this happened, we were like, we should have only been like another 20 minutes to get back to, you know, initially where we got on to that area. And we ended up in that weird loop.
Yeah, that's right after that's where we got lost. That was odd. That was odd.
It just went on and on.
Ended up getting home late. It was just weird.
Yeah.
Very weird. Another weird thing. And I had forgotten about this until Jeff and Lori were talking about having that rock thrown at them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this was the first or the second night we were there, but I was listening back to the tape and I said to you, hey, it sounds like there was a stone throw that hit the Jeep. Now, this is after we've been there we were there for a couple hours probably.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said...
Correct.
I said, hey, it sounds like on the tape there's a stone throw that hit the Jeep. And you were just like, yeah, didn't you hear that when we were there? And I was no, I did not hear that when we were there. So I caught it on tape. So here is what may or may not be a stone throw. It certainly sounds like it. We had parked the Jeep and we were hanging out near it at this time. And I'll go ahead and play that three times since it's short. Certainly sounds like a stone hitting it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually listened to that quite a few times.
Again, with the hobos throwing stones in the woods and Jeff and Lori. Another interesting thing about stone throwing, and you know, we have to bring up when we're talking about this, is Josh Cutchin brought this up to me originally. Stone throwing is reported in poltergeist sightings too, you know. Inside people's houses, they'll get stones thrown at them. So it's not just a Bigfoot thing. Who knows what we're dealing with here? And maybe we're dealing with multiple things. It seems like we had a stone thrown at us. Let's talk about the teenagers. So this is another night. And I was really uncomfortable this night.
This was the night that we ended up getting some other really weird audio.
Afterwards. After this, yeah. You know, we'd been there several times at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like I was freaking out every night. But for some reason this night... I was like freaking out, and I kept saying like, I don't know, James, I'm getting a weird feeling tonight. I don't feel right tonight. I specifically said like, I don't think it's creatures. I feel like it's people. I think there's like maybe people watching us or something. It was really weird. You pointed out later on that I happened to be right about that when I said it was people.
Yeah.
Because it was. So later, you know, some time goes by. This was probably before midnight, a good time where I started talking. But around midnight, we started seeing lights.
Yeah, down on the path. And what's funny is it, we didn't see the lights themselves. We saw just the area up ahead sort of like light up.
Yeah. And it was,
and it was super weird.
Considering that I was already like kind of on edge that night.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on? It ended up being kids with flashlights.
Yeah, yeah.
So once we realized it was people,
yeah.
I kind of thought like, maybe this is like kind of people poaching or something. I mean, this could turn into a not good situation.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe we should get out of here. Well, we had a recorder running. We kind of drove like just up the a little ways. And James was like, they might get our recorder. They can't have our recorder. I'm going to go back. So like, all right, let's go back. Let's find out what's going on here.
Yeah.
So we pull back in. So we've been going for like not even a minute.
Yeah, yeah. We literally pulled away, drove away, went up the we went up the road and out, and then we turned around and went back in.
Yeah.
And there were no more lights. And I.
Yeah, we said we don't see anybody walking there's, at this point.
The lights are gone.
And James is like, well, I'm getting that recorder. I'm not leaving it there.
Yeah, I was definitely not going to. No one was getting our recorder. So I hop out of the Jeep. I go over to where the recorder was, and I have my flashlight. I look for the recorder, and as I'm feeling for the recorder, I notice a bunch of legs. A bunch of legs just like below that drop-off that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
This is like a row of legs, and it kind of caught me off guard and freaked me out right away, because in my mind I'm like, oh my God, they're bodies. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
And I saw them move, and I was like, what are you guys doing? It's like it was like three kids hopped up and like, are you guys cops? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like teenagers. And they were afraid we were cops. We were afraid they were like poachers or something.
Yeah, yeah.
We kind of started quizzing them after you calmed them down a little bit and started talking to them. And we asked, you see anything weird out there? Because they'd walked back.
Well, as soon as we asked them if they saw anything weird, the response was like Bigfoot.
Yeah, which was a little odd. And I mean, for them to go right there.
But it got weirder because they asked us, they had a question for us.
Well, they said, well, the only thing weird we saw was that drone you guys were flying over our head. Which was like, what? And we were like, well, we don't have a drone. And they're like, yeah, you guys were flying a drone right over our heads. And we were like, no, we don't have a drone.
We are not that tech savvy.
And no one around there is flying a drone. Who's flying a drone? From what position could you fly a drone?
Well, there's nobody back there.
If
it's a completely like wide open, it's just woods.
Maybe from our position you could fly a drone, but we didn't have a drone.
Right. So, and for it to, like, for the drone to even go as far out as where these kids where we initially saw their lights. I mean, like, what is the average life expectancy on a battery for those drones?
I don't know. I mean, they're pretty good nowadays, but still, it's just, you'd have to have a line of sight. You'd have to have...
Yeah.
And there's trees everywhere. I mean, it just...
Yeah, so the drone thing is definitely odd.
That is really
weird. I think the drone thing is almost the oddest thing that kind of came out of, like, that whole night.
It was
like, who's flying drones back here?
Yeah, exactly.
Because...
No one's flying drones back.
No
That's
one's.
The thing. That's,
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't us. We don't have a drone, and I could tell they were like half confused when we were like, no.
Also,
we don't have a
knowing what I know now, I feel pretty confident in saying those kids definitely did not go the whole trail.
No.
There's no way.
I think they probably went off to a side trail. I think we found their little party spot when we were hiking that day.
Yeah.
They weren't back in that far.
No, they didn't go in deep.
And they weren't very woodwise. I'm pretty sure where they were laying down, they went home with some poison ivy that night. But that was so strange, just the whole thing with the drone. Like really, really weird. We have a collection of other audio from the thing. So let's just play some random stuff. And we'll let the audience be the judge. So here's some weird barks, possibly foxes or coyotes. So we'll play this one time. You know.
Yeah.
Foxes can sound like that.
Sure. It's definitely it's just a weird thing to like to catch because it's like, what is that?
Yeah, and it's the way it echoes through. It's just it's strange.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Here's some more barks, but notice these like weird whistles over top of the barks. There's three whistles. You have to listen closely, and I will play this clip two times. You know, what kind of bird is that? It sounds like a whistle. I don't know. I'm not a bird guy, so maybe it's a perfectly natural bird.
Could be. It could be a turkey, maybe.
I don't know.
It's weird.
So this one I'm going to play three times. This one, and you have to listen carefully because it comes quick. I feel like there's a voice here. It says something. It says it quickly.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it three times, and I'll tell you what I think it says.
Yeah.
Now you can definitely hear a car in the background.
Yeah.
Now, to me, that sounds like someone saying, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. No. There's definitely something else going on there besides the car. It's so weird that that vehicle was so loud.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything else quite that loud before back there.
No. Okay, so we caught a kind of single barking roar. That's not real close to the mic. Let me play first a sample of a gorilla. This is an actual gorilla sample. This isn't what mm-hmm. we recorded there. This repeats three times, so you can just hear what a gorilla... Because gorillas do bark. They will mm-hmm. bark when they're angry.
Correct.
And this is an actual gorilla barking, and it repeats three times. Now I'll play the audio we captured, whatever it is. Sounds to me like it's just a single bark. I'll play it three times. It sounds very similar to that to me. It's just odd. It's just one single bark in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., something like that. You tell me. Dogs yeah. tend to not just let off one bark. If they bark, they tend to...
Well, also in the middle of nowhere, it's kind of unlikely.
Yeah, so who knows? All right, next in our list of audio is what sounds like a wood knock. And again, this was one single sound. I believe this was about 2 a.m., between 1 and 2 a.m. on the tape. This was in a series, actually. You can actually hear a car come up. Now, the volume is so low that it's just not going to translate on the podcast. But you hear a car come up, you hear the horn blow, that like very far away, but you hear this. And less than 10 seconds later, you hear this wood knock.
I feel like it's very distinct.
The wood knock you can hear. The wood knock is closer than the car. Yeah. So I'll go ahead and play the wood knock two times. And here we have what sounds like a whistle and an answer. One sounds closer than the other. To me, we'll see. Maybe that's a bird.
Maybe.
I don't know. And let's talk about what is our favorite clip here.
Oh, jeez. This is by far, hands down, my favorite.
This is the weirdest one. Now, this is not a coyote.
No.
This is not a fox.
No.
This is between 2 and 3 a.m.
Yeah. Ugh, jeez. Go for it.
I'll go ahead and play it twice. We'll talk about it, then I'll go ahead and play it again. All right, so what's that?
Jeez, you know,
It's voices.
Yeah, it's voices. I feel very convinced that it's voices. It makes no sense that there would be voices happening in this area at that time. There is nobody
between
out there.
Between 2 and 3 in the morning.
There's nobody out there. I actually had played this for somebody. Actually, I had played this for at least two different people, and both of them had a very similar response. And that response was, it sounds like deaf people having a conversation, or like one of them is saying something to the other, and the other one's responding.
Let's go ahead and play it again here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
right.
And you think you definitely hear two separate individuals.
I feel like it sounds like two, but they both have like that very monotone.
Yeah.
Like it does sound like deaf people like saying something to each other.
Yeah, I put tons of noise reduction on that to see if I could
isolate it more.
Yeah, try to figure out, and that's pretty much the best I could get it. It's really weird. Whatever it is, it's not a coyote.
It's not a fox. It's definitely not deer. It's something else. And what is that something? I don't know. But that is like probably my favorite of.
Oh yeah,
of the bunch.
All the other ones, maybe, you know, the whistles and stuff. I'm sure somebody's gonna come back and say, oh, that's a, you know, it's the Pennsylvania kookaburra.
And you know what? That's great though.
I mean,
because then at least we, you know, if not, you know, at least then we know.
Right. And again, our thought with all this stuff is it just sounds a little off from what it is, and we know that mimicry seems to be a part of all this. But
absolutely.
Hey, maybe it's all perfectly natural. Except explain that last one for me.
Right.
That's not a turkey.
No.
That one is really wild.
It's the middle of nowhere. Just imagine, the deep woods, no houses back there. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Who knows? Maybe it's those rambling hobos.
Yeah.
In the woods. Getting ready to play a game of stone baseball.
Had we been there, we may have been stoned.
So, conclusions.
Conclusions.
Which there are no conclusions because it's an ongoing investigation. We're not done with this place. I don't think we're going to be done for a long time.
Yeah, no. I feel like there's a lot more to be kind of taken from this area for sure.
I really think there's something to this albino thing.
I do too. I really do.
If anyone from York knows stories of an albino family, it would be awesome to actually
I do know some folks who are in their 80s, and I had asked about the show a couple months ago.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I forgot all about this. They'd always been in York for the most part. They're in their 80s. Great people, sweet people. I think I'll actually see them tomorrow, in fact. But they're asking about the show, and I'd asked them if they'd ever heard about, albinos out in this particular area. And the woman gives me this crazy look. She says, goodness, I actually have heard about the albinos.
Yeah, she remembered hearing a story about
them. And the way that she had explained it kind of made it sound like it was an urban legend of its time.
Right.
Because she didn't know anybody that had ever seen it, but she'd heard about it.
Now, Chris said he saw them,
mm-hmm.
and he, in fact, said they lived in a shack and that they were the ones that owned the dogs that attacked his car. But, you know, it's such a weird detail.
Yeah.
I mean, super weird. And then all the white things that we're seeing.
The flashes at night. The
Lori saw that white thing.
Movement,
she said. I don't know. There seems to be some sort of Bigfoot or Bigfoot-like component to this.
Yeah, but it feels like there's something else to it as well.
Yeah, I mean...
I feel like it's firing on a couple different cylinders of weird.
Yeah, exactly. For me, when Jeff described those lights, and if he... Like, Jeff saw them. Jeff and Lori saw them. So if they want to say their eyes shine, I mean, we have to go with,
Sure.
They're the ones who saw them. But the way he's describing them... I don't know that their eyes shine. He promises that if we go when the leaves are off the trees, we're going to see him. So he saw him in the middle of winter. We weren't fireflies.
Yeah, sure.
So we're going to go and we'll see if we can see him. And then you got Lori's weird quadrupedal thing that she saw, which...
Also very interesting.
Yeah. What else? The abandoned houses? I mean, there's a whole menu of stuff here.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we got like the potential haunted location, potential Bigfoot. We've got weird lights. We've got flashes.
Yeah, orbs. She saw orbs.
Orbs.
Yeah.
And it is all in like a very condensed
area
that also has creature sighting from the summer. And a creature sighting that goes somewhere in the early to mid 90s.
Right. And I have a feeling if we dig,
there might be more.
Yeah, it's just a matter of finding them.
And yeah.
The whole area, like I said, was called Devil's Hole at some point.
Yeah.
It is not the current Devil's Hole, as I mentioned last episode. Place currently known as Devil's Hole is not close enough to this place to be confused with it.
Sure.
I had found an article when I was writing Beyond the Seventh Gate, and I cannot find it again. At the time, I just wasn't as much of a Bigfoot guy as I was. You know, it was Beyond the Seventh Gate that really kind of fired me up and really, really got me into Bigfoot. I was interested in the topic before, but I wasn't, you know, kind of obsessively interested. And I had found a story right from that area. I was just looking for any weird stories in York County. But it was right from this area, and I cannot find it again. I did not save the clipping because I didn't think it was relative. But it was a story from, I'm trying to remember here, but I'm thinking from the 1920s or 30s, about people complaining about, they were complaining about, I think they said like thieves or robbers or something, that is the way they described it, climbing on their roof. So it's this whole story.
I remember you talking about this.
Yeah, it's a whole story about people complaining about people being up on the roofs. Of course, they never saw these people, and they could never find them. They could never catch them.
In
the same area. So again, we have this Bigfoot behavior that's being attributed to people.
But thieves not taking anything, just climbing around on the roof.
Yeah, exactly. It's just this other weird thing.
Yeah.
York County, this part of York County, you don't go climb on people's roofs.
No.
Not in the 1920s, not today.
No.
You're going to end up getting shot.
Yeah.
You don't go wandering back through the woods at 3 a.m. and have a shouting conversation with your buddy in this place.
No.
You don't do it. I don't even think you fly a drone around back there, you know.
Well, someone had to have actually been, you know, close to...
Yeah, we would have... Well, we should have heard the drone. Yeah. We didn't hear it. The only conceivable position you could fly a drone from is where we were, I would think.
Yeah.
So...
Sure.
Who knows? It's just a really weird place, and I'm sure this won't be the end of our Site 7 shows.
Nope.
This is just one of many, I would say, probably.
Yeah.
Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Hollow Arts. Music, books, art, podcasts, and more. DarkHollowArts.com. Intro and background music by Stone Breath. Go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com for more.
Chief and only abbot, when my good old father died, I was made a young knight's bride. And my love built me a bower, bedecked with many a fragrant flower, a braver bower ne'er did see than the one my true love built for me. Though I married to this knight, my mother did me deadly spite, for she sent thieves in the dark of the night to rob my bower and slay my knight. So they slew my babe in my arms, they left me not to wrap him in, but the bloody sheet that he lay in. The servants all from me did flee in the midst of my extremity, they left me by myself alone, with a heart more cold than any stone. All alone I dug his grave, and he in it I did lay, while Christ was priest and I was clerk, I laid my love in the cold clay earth. All alone the bell I rang, and all alone the psalm I sang, I leaned my park, and there I cut my lovely lark. I cut my locks and I changed my name from Fair Eleanor to Sweet William, and went to court to serve my king with the famous flower of serving men. My lord the king, that he made me his chamberlain, he loved me as his son, the famous flower of serving men. Oft time he looked at me and smiled so swift his heart I did beguile, and bless the day that I became the famous flower of serving men. But all alone in my bed, I dear know there, I dreamed a dreadful dream. I saw my bed swim with blood, I saw the fiends all around my head. Lords nor gentlemen, he's left me there to guard his home, the famous flower of serving men. A king, he rode the wood all around, he stayed all day, but nothing found, and as he rode himself alone, it's there he saw the milk-white hind. The hind she broke, the hind she flew, the hind she trampled the brambles through. First she'd mount and then she'd sound, sometimes before, sometimes behind. Such a hind as this I ne'er did see, such a hind as this was never born, I fear she'll do me deadly harm. And long, long did the great horse turn for to save his lord from the branch and thorn, but long ever the day was o'er, it tangled off in his yellow hair. Right all in their eye, he sprang down his sword, he drew, she vanished there off from his view. And all around the grass was green, and all around the grave was seen. He sat himself all on the stone, great weariness it seized him on. Great silence hung from tree to sky, the wood grew still, the sun on fire. Through the woods the dove he came, and through the woods he made his moan. He sat down on the stone, so sweet he looked, so sweet he sang. Alas, the day my love became the famous flower of serving men. The bloody tears, they fell like rain, and still he sat and still he sang. Alas, the day my love became the famous flower of serving men. A king cried out, he wept full sore, he beat his breast and he tore his hair so loud, and to the dove he called, up a pretty bird, come sing it. Oh, it was her mother's deadly spite, for she sent thieves in the dark of the night. They came to rob, they came to slay, they made the smoke, they went away. And don't you think that her heart was sore as she laid the mold on his yellow hair, and don't you think that her heart was how she wept as she changed her name from Fair Eleanor to Sweet William, and to go to serve her king as the famous flower of serving men. With the bloody tears they lay all around, he's mounted up and away he's gone. One thought came to his mind, the thought that her that was a man. And as he rode himself alone, a dreadful oath he there has sworn, he would hunt her mother down as he would hunt the wildwood swine. With his 24 ladies all in there, all playing at the ball, but fairer than all of them is the famous flower of serving men. And he's rode him into his hall and
ladies rode up among them all. He lifted her to a saddle brim, and there he kissed her cheek to chin. His nobles stood and they stretched their eyes. The ladies took to the fans and smiled, for such a strange homecoming no gentleman had ever seen. He has sent his nobles all unto her mother. They have gone, they've taken her that's done such wrong. He laid her down in prison strong. And he's brought men out from the corn. He sent them down to the thorn, or for to build the bonfire high, or for to set her mother by. But well, he sang the morning thrush as he sat there in yonder bush, and louder did her mother cry in the bonfire where she burned. There she stood all amongst the thorn, and there she sang her deadly song. Alas, the day that she became the famous flower of serving men. For the fire took first all on her cheek, and then it took all on her chin. It spat and rang in her yellow hair. Soon there was no life left in. And then for fear of any strife, he took sweet William for his wife. The like before was never seen. The servant man became a queen.